Welcome back, folks. Second hour is on. This is a War Room. I don't even know how to intro this next video, other than to say, I don't know, these people think you're stupid. They think we're all stupid. And I just can't believe the world that we're living in. Really, this is my takeaways. I can't believe how bad it's gotten. This is Tom, or whatever his name, Pritzker, one of the Pritzker felons, talking to somebody on a mainstream media platform. Let's just roll it.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say that.
I don't think any Democrat has. I think it's a smear that they project back on to critics. But I J.D. Vance called Donald Trump cultural heroin. He called him America's Hitler. Yeah. I mean, the attacks on Donald Trump as a fascist came from three generals who worked for him. I mean, the most brutal critiques have come from people that have seen him far more closely than you or I combined.
I don't think any Democrats have ever called Trump Hitler. I can't think of a single time. Let me try to think. Hitler, huh? No, I haven't heard that in a while. Are you kidding me? Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see why I have no words for this? That I just can't believe that we live in a world where Nicole Wallace would think that was something to say that she should be saying. What do we even say? What do we even say at this point? Nothing. We just show them their own words right back at them. Let's go to clip 44.
I haven't suggested that Donald Trump is Hitler. I wouldn't say that.
I don't think any Democrat has. I think it's a smear that they project back on to critics.
What is the natural extension, Justin, if he pursues this to Harvard and beyond?
There was an authoritarian leader several decades back called Adolf Hitler. Hitler came to power and the scientists left.
The military survive in that climate.
In the same way that it happened in Russia with Stalin, the same way it happened with Hitler, eventually you get generals and admirals that are in there that only tell the leader what he or she wants to hear.
To the extent that the rule of law and an assault on the rule of law was an obscure, intangible thing, we're now seeing it in action.
If you look back in history, you can see very similar parallels taking place that took place in other countries that really went down that authoritarian road, including in pre-World War II Nazi Germany, when Hitler and Nazi officials basically took over Frankfurt University, which was the bastion of independent thought and progressive thinking and independent thinking, which is what, you know, Hitler didn't want. And so, again, this is what authoritarians do. They try to control all of the aspects of social life.
When Trump talks about peace and Putin talks about peace, it's autocrats getting their way. That's it. And Mussolini and Hitler said they were being the purveyors of peace.
I resisted for a long time analogies to Hitler's Germany. I've got in my Substack today, though, that it's really uncanny. The same episode where Hitler, early in his tenure, before he's totally taken over the government, some local prosecutors go after his brown shirts. And they convict them, sends them, and then he releases them. It's really the same thing.
Throwback to what?
Yeah.
Throwback to what? Poisoning the
blood. Well, I mean, that is literally Hitlerian
vermin,
rhetoric.
Right. You know, and what do people think of what happened to us? The parallel here is to maybe show up on the shores and say, no, we'll go with Hitler. I mean, what did they think about the switching of sides with the turning of who occupies the Oval Office? I believe every voter who casts a vote, regardless of who they vote for, has to know that Donald Trump believes Hitler did some good things.
Yeah, Democrats never called Trump Hitler. They would never do such a thing. They also said they didn't lock you down. The vaccine mandate was never real. That didn't exist. They didn't spend 2 years talking about Russiagate and trying to impeach Trump. None of that happened. They didn't open up the border. What are you talking about? It's Orwell once again.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, just all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
From the front lines of the information war, this is The War Room with Harrison Smith. Join the battle now on Band.video and X worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room, Infowars.com, Band.video. Let's get into this, because This needs an explanation for people that haven't been following it, even though it really shouldn't. This shouldn't require any explanation to anybody. But this is kind of the thing. This is the world that we live in. They just lie with impunity, and they figured this out. And I think that might be the big takeaway for the Democrats. Everything I'm seeing from them is like they realized that, like, they can just lie with impunity. And I know that it's been that way for a while, but when you think about the fact that they are now announcing their plan to take the Abigail Spanberger campaign strategy that worked so well in Virginia and export it, you know, nationwide. And again, the strategy they used was pretend she's a moderate and then rule like an extremist. In other words, lie about your intentions because you know that nobody would vote for you if you were honest. And so you lie about what you intend to do. You lie about your political position or your policies until you're in office, and then you just do whatever you want and you impose the most, you know, insane policies you could ever imagine. And the media covers it up for you and downplays it. And anytime there's any pushback or negative reaction to your policies, it won't, you know, it's a very simple strategy. So let's say Alison Spanberger passes some law about, you know, renewable energy. And so your energy bill spikes. The way I would report that is, you know, change in law causes suffering amongst the people of Virginia as their energy bills spike. The way the left will cover it is MAGA latches on anger to cause problems for Abigail Spanberger. It'll be another right-wing, hate brigade comes after Abigail Spanberger over her commitment to climate, rescuing. It's very simple. And so they figured out that they can do this in a way that requires no subtlety, that isn't something that they feel the need to, like, cover their tracks. They figured out that they can just lie absolutely right to your face. And the left, like, their constituents are either okay with it and understand it and approve of it as a strategy, as they have for a while. I mean, they are just literally dishonest people, and they are narcissistic and egotistical. And you hear them all the time. I mean, they think they know better than you. And so in their minds, lying to you is acceptable. Because if you knew what they were doing, you would try to stop them. That's because you don't know what's good for you. They know what's good for you. So they need to lie to you to get in office, to do what you wouldn't let them do if you knew they were going to do it. It's really not that complicated, but it is that insidious. And they've been caught doing this exact thing. I bring it up all the time because it was personal, frankly. Jimmy Flanagan here in Austin was running to be a city councilman, and there was a Facebook group with a bunch of leftist Antifa types, socialist progressives, and they were saying, this Flanagan guy is too moderate. He's not extreme enough. He's not socialist enough. So Jimmy Flanagan's chief of staff, campaign manager, responds saying, guys, he is radical. Guys, he is extreme, but he's not going to get elected if people knew what he was going to do. So we're going to maintain a moderate position for the campaign, but don't counter signal him, because once he's in office, trust me, I'm one of you guys. I'm with you guys. I'm in charge of his whole thing. He agrees with us, but he can't say that because they won't elect him otherwise. And he's saying this like, guys, this is our strategy. Isn't this a good strategy? In public, on Facebook, with his name. So don't just think I'm like taking, you know, my observation of their actions and applying, you know, interpretation to it. You could do that and you'd come to the same conclusion. But I'm saying they actually say this in their own words. They actually write to each other, guys, they would never get elected if we were honest. So we have to lie. And so they're doing that in like a million different ways now. The Late Show and Stephen Colbert and James Tallarico, this fake Christian CIA cutout from Texas, have adopted this strategy as well. And again, the reason I'm saying it like this and laying it out like this is because I really do think that all of this is part of the same trend. And it's a part of this trend that really wouldn't have been possible a couple decades ago. It's probably been possible for a little bit now, but it's only possible with the total degradation of the American people. Like, we're too stupid now. On average, you know, as a population, we're too stupid and immoral and misled to actually hold people to account. And again, hopefully you kind of understand what I'm trying to express here. But the idea that the only incentive not to lie that politicians have is the idea that if they get caught lying, the constituents will no longer trust them and not vote for them anymore. But what happens when your constituents approve of the lie or don't care that you're lying or never find out that you're lying because they think that the right wing is, you know, evil, and so they never listen to anybody except for the left, the mainstream media, who are lying to them? Like, what do you do when they can lie with impunity? When somebody can say, I'm running as a moderate, I'm going to rule as a moderate, you know, I don't hate Republicans, I'm a Democrat, but with a small D, like, you know, give me, I'll run things like a functionary. And then they get in office and it's just like, release all the prisoners, rape is no longer illegal, but bring in as many foreigners as we possibly can, reorganize the congressional districts so Republicans no longer have any representation, you know, let's send a transgender counselor into every elementary school to try to seduce children. Like, these are all things that they actually did in Virginia the first week that Abigail Spanberger got into office. And no, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. Look up the man with the beard and the dress that is now an official government employee and a counselor in charge of, you know, education programs there in Virginia. Now, typically, people that thought they voted for a moderate and instead got an extremist would feel insulted at that. They'd feel lied to. They'd feel outraged. They would think like, well, what the hell? If you'd said you were going to do this, we never would have voted for you. What happens if they're never told about the extreme policies that are going into place? Or if they are told, it's told in a way that makes it seem like, well, it's just, you know, something that happened and nothing anybody can do about it. And it's not that this is an extreme measure. It's actually a very reasonable measure. It just had some unintended consequences. And so whatever outrage they would feel about being betrayed and lied to and tricked never manifests. And they just keep falling for it over and over. I really don't know what to do with this at this point. And again, the reason I'm giving this big long lead in to this story is because this story is such a crazy example of this, where absolutely nothing about it is true. Nothing about it is factual. Nothing about it makes any sense at all if you really think about it. But it's playing on people's preconceived notions, their preordained biases. It's villainizing people that are already set up as villains in the mainstream media. And so to lay it out for you, exactly what happened is Stephen Colbert hosts The Late Night Show. Nobody watches The Late Night Show. In fact, he was canceled last year and yet is still there for some reason. But the show's so expensive and it doesn't bring in any audience. Nobody watches it. Nobody cares. Nobody could tell you who's been on The Late Night Show in the last 3 years. It doesn't make news. Nobody watches it. It doesn't matter. In reality, it really doesn't matter. The only place it does get attention is online. The online audience for clips from late night shows, significantly larger and more widespread than boomers still watching or people programming their TiVo. I don't even know if that exists anymore, but nobody watches it live. And so what do you do if you want to, you have this platform that's technically a huge platform, but nobody really watches it, but you want to make a big splash. You really want to give a political candidate the biggest bump you can. And so what they do is they film an interview with James Tallarico, and then they upload it online, the only place that it would get views anyway. And they make an announcement saying, Donald Trump ordered the FCC to take down this interview. We were going to air an interview with a Democrat, but Trump's FCC stepped in and told us we're not allowed to show this interview. A total, abject, blatant lie. A blatant lie in every way. In every way. Trump's FCC had nothing to do with this. There's not a law that says you can't have Democrats. It was actually, well, I'll let the people involved actually explain what actually happened here. But it is just a pure, cynical, like blatant and naked propaganda PR stunt. Never happened. The interview was not pulled. Nobody said it couldn't do it. But for all day yesterday on Drudge, the top headline in red was the interview they don't want you to see. The interview they tried to take down, but it's here. And it's like, okay, first of all, if they wanted to take it down, then they wouldn't want it uploaded either. Like, they had the ability to stop it from airing. They'd also have the ability to stop it from... The only way it would get views is if it was online and if this big attention was drawn to it. This is obvious. But, like, I guess it's not a crime to lie about, you know, we're not allowed to show this video. But, like, it kind of should be. Because the damage has already been done. This James Tallarico guy that nobody would have paid any attention to, wouldn't have made a splash, nobody would have watched it, nobody would have cared. Instead, it got millions and millions and millions of views. And this dumbass's mental poison has been poured into the ears of millions and millions of Americans who went into it thinking, I'm watching something that the big bad powers that be, the tyrants, are trying to keep from me, but I'm going to see the information they don't want me to see. It's totally fraudulent. Entirely fraudulent, but the damage has been done. And again, Drudge red linked the interview they don't want you to see. Here's what actually happened. CBS denies it pulled Stephen Colbert's James Tallarico interview. CBS is denying an accusation from Stephen Colbert, the network's top comic and host of The Late Show, that it prevented him from airing an interview with Texas Democrat Senate candidate James Tallarico. Colbert said during his Monday show, he told viewers that attorneys for CBS told him in no uncertain terms that, quote, we could not have him on the broadcast, referring to Tallarico. Not only could I not have him on, I could not mention me not having him on, the host continued, and because my network clearly does not want us to talk about this, let's talk about it. Oh, man, he's such a rebel. It's like, the network doesn't want you to see this, but they can't stop me. I'm going to show him. It's just a lie. It's just an abject, flagrant lie. CBS, in a statement to Hill, said the Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Representative James Tallarico. The show was provided legal guidance that the broadcast could trigger the FCC equal time rule for the two other candidates, including Representative Jasmine Crockett, and presented options for how the equal time for other candidates could be fulfilled. It was Late Show itself, CBS said, that decided to present the interview through its YouTube channel with on-air promotion on the broadcast rather than potentially providing the equal time options. So CBS was like, yeah, of course you can interview James Tallarico. It's just he's in a race. There are other candidates. The equal time clause means that we can't, as a national, you know, syndicated broadcast network, we can't just provide, you know, endless campaign material for free for one candidate, not another, because then it becomes, you know, whatever the term is, you know, in-house campaign contributions, whatever it is, where it's not money, but it's the equivalent of money. You know, more attention and awareness than you could pay for. They're providing that to one candidate, not another. That's illegal. You're not allowed to do that. So all they said was you can interview James Tallarico. It's just you also have to interview Jasmine Crockett at a certain point because she's the other candidate. And it's an unfair advantage for CBS, this massive corporation, to provide James Tallarico so much attention, but not send it out. Yeah. James Tallarico's banned interview. It was too intense. It was too cool. He was too smart. They couldn't let him. Yeah, look at the attention. This is people searching James Tallarico. Just shot up like a rocket, which is the point. Now scroll up a little bit, guys. Generational backfire. Wow, they tried to stop him, but instead it made him more popular. Those fools, those idiots. Meanwhile, nobody tried to stop him. Nobody from the FCC reached out. Nobody from the Trump administration said, don't have this guy on. Nobody from CBS said, you're not allowed to have this guy on. Never happened. He got the attention. He's playing this up. They're acting like it's a victory. It's just, I mean, it's just, I find it sickening. I find the manipulation and the underhandedness and the duplicity and the deceitfulness, I find it all sickening. Do other people? I don't know. There it is. Yeah. From Drudge Report. All, you know, red caps. Interview they don't want you to see. Colbert torches CBS. Feud plays out on air. Dems rake in millions after nixed. After the interview was nixed. The interview wasn't nixed. It's just, again, just a flagrant, open, naked manipulation. Psychological operation. And millions of Americans are out there today thinking that James Tallarico just got a victory over the Donald Trump administration because Trump tried to stop him from speaking out because he hates the First Amendment. And James Tallarico, the hero, and Stephen Colbert, the genius, they stood up for free speech. I mean, it's like these people, man. So let's go to couple of these videos. Let's go to clip 30 first, because here you can see, yeah, after the FCC banned our Colbert interview, didn't ban it. So, like, again, they have learned that they can lie. They have learned they can lie with absolute impunity. What he's admitting right there is fraud. That tweet that we just saw is literally an admission and bragging about fraud. He just said we raised $2.5 million because the FCC banned our interview. The FCC didn't ban the interview. They made that up and lied to people in order to solicit donations. That's called fraud. If I go around saying I'm fighting cancer, will you donate to my cancer charity? And then I just spend it on a car for myself. I have committed fraud. These people are going around saying we were censored. The FCC tried to stop us. Give us money to fight back against this totalitarian regime. That is a lie. And he's just admitting there that they made $2.5 million off this lie. Maybe he should be arrested for campaign finance fraud. Because the people don't care. I don't know why people don't care that they're lied to like this. I don't know why Democrats accept their politicians just lying straight to their faces, then taking their money and laughing about it. But like, that's supposed to be the backstop. That's supposed to be the thing that disincentivizes this type of behavior. But it doesn't exist anymore. So that's what they've learned. They've learned it doesn't matter. We can run as a moderate, rule as a radical. Nobody will know the difference. Nobody will know any better. They'll keep voting for us. We can say that this is a banned interview, total lie, but it'll drive eyes and it'll get us money and nobody will care, even if it comes out. So I don't know what we do about this, but this is absolutely a lie. And the funniest part is that it's Jasmine Crockett, of all people, that are exposing the lie. So I guess let's first go to clip 19. This is Jasmine Crockett, who's also a Senate candidate from Texas, calling Tallarico and Colbert liars and saying that Trump and the CBS and CBS are the ones telling the truth. Obviously, let's watch. 19.
This cast of characters, Arthur Young, Ruth Forbes, 19. Payne Young.
Information suggesting that the federal government did not shut down this segment, number one. That is my understanding, that the federal government didn't shut this down. And we will do an official statement once we get another official statement that we anticipate is going to be coming from Paramount. All right, so we will read what they say, and then we'll go from there. It is our understanding that Colbert, either Mr. Colbert or CBS, decided to make this hit on Paramount. And this was because of a fear that the FCC may say something to them and that there may have been advice to just have
so the audio is not very good, but she's just repeating what I told you earlier, that CBS said, look, you can have James Tallarico on, but he is a candidate. There is this fair use clause. You got to provide, you know, an equal amount of time to his opponents. Yeah, that's what happened. And Colbert lied about that. Oh, they banned the interview. They didn't want you to see this. They said in no uncertain terms, he's not allowed to come on. Total, abject, flagrant lie. Let's go to clip 30 here. This is an extremely clear example of how the MSM lies and pushes these false narratives, even though they know it's not true. Clip 30.
CBS released a statement today saying, quote, the Late Show was not prohibited by CBS from broadcasting the interview with Rep. James Tallarico. CBS made the decision to bow to Trump's FCC and basically blocked Stephen Colbert from airing his interview with a Texas Democratic candidate. CBS pulled his interview on Stephen Colbert's show just before it was supposed to air. The reason that CBS pulled Colbert's interview with James Tallarico was because of a new kind of made-up rule by Donald Trump's FCC chair, Brendan Carr. Brendan Carr's new rule would be designed to intimidate talk shows and late-night comedy shows out of featuring political guests.
They could go ahead and move forward with the interview of James Tallarico. They just needed to offer me equal time. I did not get a request from the Colbert show to go on.
So again, she's just lying, and they just are lying. What, you know, what else am I supposed to say? I can tell you they're lying. I can't make you care that they're lying to you. I can't make it matter to you that they would so offensively misrepresent everything going on here. Like, I almost feel bad for Jasmine Crockett in all of this. And I think Jasmine Crockett is the worst, but honestly, she's better than James Tallarico. She's not slimy as him. She's more upfront. Maybe we need to get Jasmine Crockett on. Oh, but then would we have to have James Tallarico? Dang it. What do we do? So, I don't know. The Democrats have realized they don't have to tell the truth. No one's going to make them, and their constituents don't care. So, just get used to more of this. Should get used to a bunch of Democrats acting like they're fighting the power and standing up. Oh, and by the way, didn't Trump just force CBS to be sold to his friend, and this is the type of crap they're pulling on him?
Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever. Hey, Patriots know. And it's just exciting. Spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want that to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead. The entire world is racing into the fourth turning and the greatest quickening our species has seen in 10,000 years of recorded history. You know you're in a war, right? And it's a declared war. The globalists have declared war on Team Humanity. They've declared war on the God that made us. It is not incredible. It is not heroic. It is not amazing to fight this. It is survival. This is the priority. This is the real world. This is game time. This is the crossroads of human destiny right now. Right now. And I see a bunch of other people not realizing how desperate the situation is. We need maximum urgency. We're up against the most evil people the world's ever seen. Don't you understand that? I don't want anybody to go out and be physically violent. I want you to kill with truth. Kill with your will. Kill, kill, kill their lies. Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, just all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Les Wexner was deposed by the House Oversight Committee yesterday, and today they published the full 5-hour video of the event, and people are finding some very interesting clips, and we'll go to some of those here in just a second. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for all sorts of amazing merchandise, whether it's the hats and the shirts and the pullovers, the hoodies. It's all fantastic, the highest quality out there and available, really just like the best. I have like 6 of our hoodies. I wear them all the time. I have one in my car in case it gets cold. There, I got InfoWars hoodies all over the place, stashed strategically around in case it gets too cold and I need something on a moment's notice. And right now, no matter what you order at thealexjonesstore.com, you're getting a free hat. Every order comes with a free 1776 hat. Every order placed at thealexjonesstore.com, of course, keeps our operation on the air and in the fight. And it is your last couple hours to get 100 times entries and a chance to win 2 vehicles and $20,000 for every dollar you spend at thealexjonesstore.com. You get entered to win either or both of the cars. Somebody's got to win. It might as well be you. And you get this very cool free hat. I mean, sometimes people give out hats that you don't even want, but this is a hat I would buy. This is a hat I would wear around all the time. There's something about it. Simple, patriotic, classy, in the black trucker style with the 1776 in the handwritten script with the Betsy Ross stars around it. It's just a beautiful hat. It's yours for free, no matter what you order at thealexjonesstore.com. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. So let's get back into Les Wexner, shall we? Let's get back into Wes Lexner and what we've learned from him. Let's go first to this. This is crazy. This was found by somebody named Reese J. Gorman on X, where apparently Les Wexner's attorney had some very sharp words for the old man, because apparently Les Wexner was answering more thoroughly than the lawyer thought advisable. And so he was caught on hot mic whispering some advice to the elderly gentleman. Let's watch.
It was just regularly done. Answer the question. Okay.
So I'm not sure if you could make that out. That was Les Wexner's lawyer leaning over and saying, "I'll effing kill you if you answer another question with more than five words, okay?" Now, devil's advocate, steel manning this, best possible outcome. Maybe that sounds like something friends would say to one another. Right? If I will kill you if you do that again. I'm talking to a friend of mine. It's like, obviously, I'm not really going to kill him. But, you know, we're talking about international spy rings here. We're talking about a tranche of documents that includes several references to murder and torture and death. So maybe not the most appropriate joke for a lawyer to make in this instance. Maybe could have gotten that message across a different way. Let's try to keep our answers short, all right? But no, I'll effing kill you if you use more than five words. Answer the question. Okay, a little weird. That's a little weird. Now, apparently he answered questions about Trump. We heard the Democrat lawmakers reference this answer yesterday. Now we have the answer itself. I was ridiculing it because it was like, Trump was at a Victoria's Secret's fashion show. What was he doing there? Whatever could he have been doing there? Isn't that suspicious? It's like, no, not really. Not really at all, actually. It's a major event in New York City where he's a prominent celebrity, public figure with industry connections to your whole thing. Like, that's not suspicious at all. But that was just going off the recollections of the Democrats. So let's see what Les Wexner himself had to say when he was asked about Donald Trump.
I would go to some of the Victoria's Secret fashion shows because it's very important to the brand. At some of the fashion shows, Jeffrey was there and some Trump was there. And I remember because Trump would always introduce himself to me. And I always thought it was kind of odd that he was at the fashion show because he had nothing to do with fashion.
So that's what they got out of Les Wexner. Les Wexner, who was deeply intertwined with Jeffrey Epstein, to a degree that's inextricable, right? There is no Jeffrey Epstein if there's not a Les Wexner. He was the progenitor of the entire Jeffrey Epstein phenomenon. So you'd think that he'd be involved than anybody Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. The Democrats go out of their way to ask him a question about Donald Trump, thinking that he has something. All he has is, well, he was at Victoria's Secret fashion shows sometimes, and I thought that was weird because he wasn't involved in the fashion industry. You think everybody at a Victoria's Secret show is in a fashion industry? You think it's weird that a high-profile celebrity would accept an invitation to a major or prominent public event? You have nothing. You have nothing. There's nothing suspicious about Donald Trump being at a fashion show. But that's all they got, apparently. And people like get mad at me, like as if I'm covering up for Trump. It's like my interpretation of this is once again another intimate of Jeffrey Epstein and a alleged co-conspirator of Jeffrey Epstein all but exonerates Donald Trump under oath. If that's the worst they got is that sometimes he was at a Victoria's Secret fashion show and would introduce himself, then you have nothing. So, you know, I don't know what if he'd said instead, oh yeah, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump were palling around all the time, then I'd report that. But that's not what he said. He said he never saw him. And when he did see him, it was in a public place that it's perfectly reasonable for him to be there. So to me, that's yet another Epstein associate, once again, having no choice but to clear Trump's name, even though he's obviously trying not to, even though he's trying to make very normal behavior, going to a fashion show, seem suspicious by being like, but he didn't have any reason to be there. Okay, great. So you tell me, I mean, I don't know if he said something else, I'd cover that. But I'm just telling you the facts. So Donald Trump exonerated once again. Once again, associates of Epstein who were intimately involved in everything he did have no ability to tie Trump to the misbehavior. And the thing is, I know we haven't gotten all the documents by a long shot. We have like less than 1% of everything that we know that they've captured in one raid, let alone all of it. Apparently Iran, I don't know if it was official or not, but the rumor was and the statement was that supposedly the leadership of Iran said if we get attacked, we'll release video we have of Trump with an underage person. I don't know if that's true. Like, you understand, my position is very clear and simple, and if something comes out where Trump is proven to have been engaged in bad behavior, it will not be a heel turn for me to accept it. Because my position as it stands now is there is no evidence to tie Trump to Epstein. I have looked, and all of the evidence I have ever seen tell me that Donald Trump was not involved in the bad stuff Epstein was doing, that he was not involved with children, that he was not okay with it, that he did not know what was going on and try to cover it up. That's all I've seen. All of the evidence I've seen has pointed me in that direction. Now, if new evidence comes up, that's not going to change the evidence that exists out right now, retrospectively. It would put it in a new context, maybe. But right now, I have a plethora of information, a plethora of examples or instances I can reference about Donald Trump not being involved with Jeffrey Epstein. So that's what I'm going on. I know a lot of people out there want really badly to believe that, you know, he's totally guilty, but like, we know what totally guilty looks like. It's Les Wexner. It's Steve Bannon. Like, this is the thing, again, kind of the same thing with that I feel with like Alex Jones sometimes, where people go, oh, he's, you know, he's a Mossad agent. He's working for Israel. And it's like, guys, take somebody that you know is working for Israel, like Ben Shapiro. Take somebody that like you don't even question, like that. Yeah, that's what it looks like. There are more sophisticated shades of that. But take somebody like Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, you know, even to a lesser degree, but people like Jack Posobiec and, you know, others like that are tied into the intelligence community and, you know, are covering up for, hell, look, even Charlie Kirk. You know, when Donald Trump said stop talking about Epstein, the next day Charlie Kirk was on his radio show going, I'm going to stop talking about Jeffrey Epstein. I think it's time to drop it because he was instructed to. So it's like, you know what it looks like when people are compromised. Is that what it looks like with Alex Jones? Where every day he's pounding the table and saying, we got to go after these people. You got to round these people up. What the hell are you doing, Trump? You're covering up for them. If you weren't in on it before, you're in on it now. It's just absurd. You know what it looks like when people are controlled. So can you not apply that metric and, you know, judge other people by it? So same thing with Donald Trump. We know what it looks like when people are involved in this crap. Bill and Hillary Clinton aren't featured prominently in any of the new releases that we know about so far. It doesn't exonerate them. Doesn't mean that they're innocent by any means. So all I'm saying that is that if it comes out later that Donald Trump is guilty of something, it's on tape or whatever, then great. At that point, I'll accept that evidence and file it away with the rest of the evidence and, you know, change the worldview so it comports with the evidence that we have. Right now, all of the evidence that we have is that Trump wasn't in on it. So that's what I got to go with. And again, the reason I'm saying that is because people act like if you point out, like, okay, they asked about Trump and the guy had nothing, as if you're like putting your flag down going, Trump never did anything and will never do it and will never find out anything. And if anything does come out, it's a lie. Like, no, you know, if something comes out, I'll report on it. But I'm just giving you the pure facts here. He had nothing. He had absolutely nothing, this Les Wexner. But he tried. But he tried to make it sound suspicious, but it's not. So it didn't work very well. Let me know, guys, if we have any more of that coming in. We got a new clip? All right, let's go to this one. Again, these are clips from the five-hour deposition that occurred yesterday. Here's Les Wexner talking about a birthday letter to Epstein. This was in the book for, I guess, his 50th birthday or something. They went around and had a bunch of his friends write him letters, and Les Wexner's letter was included. And apparently he says, yes, I did. I did write that. Let's watch.
Did you yourself write this letter to Mr. Epstein?
Sadly, I did.
Did Ms. Maxwell approach you to write this letter for Mr. Epstein's birthday?
I think the request was to write a card or a note or something for a birthday book.
And did that come from Ms. Maxwell?
I don't remember.
Mr. Wexner, would you please read the main body of the birthday note for the record, please?
I wanted to get you what you want, so here it is. Happy birthday, your friend Leslie.
And what was your understanding of what Mr. Epstein would want?
He was a bachelor, so I drew a pair of boobs.
You've...
As a kind of a joke and offhandedly, I'd say.
Understand.
I hope you do.
You said a few times throughout this deposition today that you did not consider Mr. Epstein a friend of yours. However, you signed this letter, and I quote, your friend, Leslie. Why would you sign your friend, Leslie, to someone you did not consider to be a friend of yours?
I don't know.
Because I'm a liar. Because I was lying about not being friends with him, probably, is what the answer is. So, I mean, a couple of his lies were sort of exposed there, right? So far, we've heard, like, I didn't know this guy. He wasn't really my friend. I don't know how he got his hands on all my money. He stole $1.3 billion. What? I had no idea. My gosh, that's crazy. And then he's like, you know, but clearly, I think he knows him pretty well. I think he seems intimately familiar with Jeffrey Epstein and what he was involved in and what he was up to. Pretty risque note to write somebody if you aren't very confident that they're going to, you know, receive it positively, right? I don't know. It seems to me like he clearly knew a lot about Jeffrey Epstein, as much as a good friend and possibly more. So sort of exposes he was lying about all that other stuff he was saying about not knowing the guy, and he was a con man, and he fell for his tricks. No, I think you knew him intimately well for a very long time. Your friend, Leslie. Happy birthday, your friend, Leslie. So, we're just going to pretend like this guy isn't just lying to our faces, I guess. Let's go to clip 20 here. This was a statement made by one of the members of Congress after the deposition. Again, it's sad that the Democrats are so outmaneuvering the Republicans on this, but not a single Republican showed up to the deposition. Here's the Democrats yesterday. Clip 20.
It's about $1 billion that was either transferred, provided in stocks, or given directly to Mr. Epstein by Wexner. We should be very clear that the two were very close per reporting. They spent a lot of time together. Mr. Wexler admitted that he traveled to both Epstein's island as well as his other properties. Mr. Wexler also admitted that Jeffrey Epstein had access to a lot of Mr. Wexler's wealth. And when asked even simple questions, even as it relates to Mr. Epstein being the co-president of the foundation that established the area that we're in today, Mr. Wexler had little to say. In fact, it's clear that Mr. Wexler is trying to downplay how close Jeffrey Epstein and Mr. Wexler actually were. And we should be very clear that there would be no Epstein Island, there'd be no Epstein plane, there'd be no money to traffic women and girls. Mr. Epstein would not be the wealthy man he was without the support of Les Wexner. I think it's very important for us to note at this moment.
I think that's kind of the most important thing to understand. There is no Jeffrey Epstein without Les Wexner. This wasn't just a friend. This wasn't just an associate. This wasn't just a victim of his con artistry. This was his patron. This was probably his boss in the crime syndicate that they were operating together. And the man says that he's controlled by a demon. So there's that. So there's that on top of all of it. Let's go to clip number 13 here. This is one of the most overlooked files in the Epstein files. And there are many. Let's watch.
In all of the Epstein files, what is the craziest email that you feel like everybody missed?
The most interesting email is this connection of the House of Rothschild to Jeffrey Epstein. Edmond de Rothschild, at the time, was facing a problem with the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice was alleging that Edmond de Rothschild, the bank in Switzerland, was helping wealthy Americans dodge taxes. Mm. So what they decide is that they'll pay a fine. Now, to negotiate that settlement, they hire two individuals, Kathy Rumler and Jeffrey Epstein. He says, I think he will find 45.5 penalty, that's 45.5 million, legal 10 million for legal Kathy. Fees to Kathy, me 25, all less than 80, pretty good. They paid 45.5 million to the Department of Justice. Epstein was paid 25 million to broker that deal. The reason why this puts it all together for me is you have the Rothschilds negotiating with the American Justice Department. Who do you hire? There are 10 law firms which you hire. You don't hire Jeffrey Epstein unless you're hiring him for a reason.
Yeah. Again, it's like, what more do you need to know? Let's go to clip 26 here. Nancy Mace was one of the Congress people who was allowed to see a look at the unredacted files. She says it's beyond clear that Jeffrey Epstein was in close communication with a number of intel agencies. Let's watch.
You have looked at a lot of these documents, a lot of these redactions. Do you have any sense who he was working for?
Yeah, I mean, I think Israel's on the table, Mossad. I think the CIA. Some folks have said Russian, but I think it'd be very hard. I haven't seen that link yet, but I think it'd be very easy to map it to the CIA and to Israel as well. I don't think he committed suicide. I think he was murdered as well for the information and intel that he has. And somebody's covering this up. I mean, this was going back over 20 years. This goes back four presidential administrations. And the American people need to know why and who's covering up. And those that are covering up, they need to go to jail, too.
Yep, absolutely. And again, the question is, why is Trump willing to basically burn down his own credibility to protect these scumbags around him? Maybe he is guilty. It's certainly possible. But it's just, again, I'm just shocked at how the UK is so successfully actually doing things about this, and we just can't get it done. It's absolutely infuriating. Let's go to clip 23 here. This is when Democrats lie so badly that even CNN has to step in and correct them. Let's watch.
I do want to ask one thing, because the committee went to
Ohio to depose Les Wexner. Obviously, that's where he's from. Why did the committee make the decision, given, you know, we've talked so much about the Clintons having to come to Washington and other witnesses or other potential people that the committee wants to speak to? Why did the committee instead travel to him in this situation?
That's a good question. So these negotiations happen with the majority. It's the same as what's happening with the Clintons. So my guess would be that the majority and Wexner's lawyers negotiated this, and he is elderly, and so the decision was made to go to Ohio. That is what's happening ultimately in the Clinton deposition next week as well, is that we are traveling to New York to conduct the interviews.
Yeah, I just think it's worth pointing out from a CNN report that shows there was that handwritten note from the Justice Department that shows an investigator talked to an attorney for Les Wexner, actually in 2007, who said his client was advanced in age and has no interaction with his money manager. Of course, that was when Les Wexner was in his late 60s and was still the company, the CEO of the company Limited Brands, which he did for about 10 more years. And obviously, that was 20 years ago. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us tonight, for telling us what happened inside the room. And obviously, we will look forward to speaking to you again as this investigation goes on. Did anyone ask him why he thinks he was listed as a co-conspirator in a Justice Department document?
Essentially, yes. I mean, people asked him if he's familiar with various allegations made in the files, including the one from Virginia Giuffre. He said he wasn't really familiar. He'd become familiar in recent weeks in preparation for this deposition. He was asked, what knowledge he may have had of any of Epstein's, you know, wrongdoings or any of that, and he completely denied that. But what I will say, I think, was the most revealing part of today's deposition, because he was not giving us much information. But when we did ask him, you know, you were in fact mentioned, sir, in the Epstein files. Your name comes up a lot, and you're listed as a possible co-conspirator with these allegations. Has the DOJ ever talked to you, or have the FBI ever come to question you? And he said no. And that was shocking to all of us, because when you think of Jeffrey Epstein, you think of Les Wexner. I mean, there's no name that I have heard more from the victims after I hear about, you know, Ghislaine and Jeffrey himself than Les Wexner, because they say follow the money. So the fact that the Department of Justice has not investigated this, I think, further points to the cover-up from this administration. The fact that either Pam Bondi is completely incompetent at doing her job, which is the nicest version way of saying it, or she is purposefully and intentionally avoiding investigating some of the most important people in this case.
Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle. You get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, because is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, what, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, the store, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, it's a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. Don't want to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel any time. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach new people, and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guest straight ahead.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.